The evolution continues. CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
We want everybody to come on the floor.
I've collected CIUT 89.5 FM. It's another Saturday, another radio Saturday, and it's been a bit of a hectic week. But we're here and in good spirits and in good health, and for that we give thanks. And we are Jam.
What's good? It's Luam. And it's Kemba King.
Yes, and we're the Vibe Collective. We're heard every Saturday from 3 to 5. From 3 to 4, we have roundtable talks. We talk about important issues like social justice, decolonization.
Environmental justice, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Today, I want to talk about journey, because I am feeling the journey today. Yes. But besides that, love, resistance, queer resistance, black and indigenous solidarity, African, pan-African politics.
Yeah. All those good things.
All those good things and complicated things and simple things and all of them journey things.
Yes, yes. And we try to create a cipher. We reason. We're hoping to incite some critical thinking amongst you listeners in Radio Land. So that's why we come together every Saturday to do what we do. And today we do have a special guest on the show. Zaki Ibrahim will be joining us in just a moment.
We do.
Yes, indeed. And do you want to do the intro?
Yeah, I definitely want to do the intro. So Zaki Ibrahim is a storyteller. She's a performing artist, a director, a choreographer, a fashion icon, and just an individually talented vocalist. She has traveled across the world performing her arts. And this is a little something that a lot of people don't know, but she's going to be my wedding singer when I get married.
Oh, you decided this?
Oh, we've already had a conversation.
Oh, okay, good. So Zaki's a part of the decision.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, let's welcome Zaki to Vibe Collective. Zaki, are you there?
Hello, Zaki. Zaki. Hello.
Hello.
And okay. Radioland, sometimes things happen where we check in to see if y'all are listening.
I'll see if I can get her on the phone.
Right.
You'll talk amongst yourselves.
So tell me a little more about how this conversation came about. So she's going to be your wedding singer.
Right. So
Kemba, I didn't know you wanted to get married.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
so
people
don't know
my personal business.
Yeah. You know what I mean? All right, well, we're about to put it out on Radioland. Right. So Kemba Meme King wants to get married, y'all.
Yes. Well, it's not that. It's not like Bethany. It's not like that woman like Bethany trying to get married. I'm just saying, like, if I'm in a committed relationship and we love each other, then I would like to get married. You know,
married.
And
or
so,
like,
and my
like
mother
a love
would
ceremony.
Like that too.
Like a love ceremony, married, or like papers married, or both.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And well, Zaki's a nice person to have singing for you.
Right. So when was the Woman Manifesto? Last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Because it was like right when I moved to Toronto and I was like,
So Zaki was a part of Woman Manifesto and...
Yo, tell me you remember the moment though when she came out and started doing Girl Again and like the whole crowd went
nuts. Crazy, right?
Yeah. That was
so
fire.
Before that, people were setting up. I was a part of Moon Manifesto, and we were just catching up, and I'm like, oh, so Zaki, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm a wedding singer. And I was like, oh my God, you have to be my wedding singer. And she's like, okay.
And that's how it was decided.
That's it.
All right.
Okay, we've got Zaki Ibrahim on the line.
Hi, Zaki.
Hi.
I just did the intro for you, but how about you introduce yourself since you didn't hear
what
I said?
I didn't hear what you said. What is it? Should I? I don't want to like say the same thing.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
The important detail you need to know is that you're Kemba's wedding singer.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, when is that happening? Am I
No, it's not. It's not happening as yet. It's okay. It's all right.
There's no date yet. Yeah.
Don't say that. Come on. All right. Hi, I'm Zaki Ibrahim. I'm Kemba's wedding singer.
Yes.
I'm at Adelaide Hall on the 25th of October in Toronto, and I'm inviting everyone to come and see it.
Awesome. So, Zaki, first of all, for people who aren't familiar with your work, can you talk to us about how you define your work and how you... No, that's a bigger question. How you define your work?
Okay. I guess it's I'm a songwriter, and my beginnings were... I guess my beginnings were like in my imagination, like in my in that kind of way, and just like playing around with different kinds of genres, like listening to a lot of different kinds of genres, but then really actively engaging with music. It started with hip hop. And kind of the culture and community of hip hop was kind of the jump off, I guess. And I've continued to write songs I strive to kind of be open-minded about my approach to how I write songs. So yeah, that's it. I've been doing that. I've been writing songs. I've released some EPs, and tried to kind of become obsessed with certain kinds of sounds and methods in doing that with each project, and just kind of putting myself through a little bit of a school experience. And I just, I finished my first full-length album last year, and it's just been available for sale here in Canada recently. And it's been getting a lot of very interesting reviews, very, very good feedback, which I'm really happy about. And it's something that, you know, I wasn't sure how people were going to react to it, or, you know, how it's going to be received, because there is this whole question of what is it? Right, what does it identify with? What does it, you know, it's the sound that's kind of like, you know, there's little elements of R&B, and but it's not R&B, and there's little elements of just kind of like a cinematic-y kind of electro, or whatever you want to call it, but it is a little bit, you know, stretching over a couple of different things. But I think so far it's been cool. Like, it's been really it's been received well, and I think like just the basic core of it is like is the intention behind it in the song, you know, like the songwriting.
I'm surprised that you were, I guess, in a way apprehensive about that. I felt like your work has shifted over the years, and I remember when The Dew came out, and for me that was like a big change. Can you talk to me about, would you say that there's particular themes within your music, or without the scariness of the word, particular politics within your music?
There's not, well, I don't know about politics,
yeah,
but internal politics, I don't know. of course it's shifting. Like, The Dew is a story on its own, but it's a part of this album, which is a whole story as well. And the shift from, say, A Computer Girl, which is kind of in the same kind of theme, to something like The Dew, it's setting the stage and telling a story of a pivotal moment in a woman's life, where she receives a calling, and she's got to pay attention to it because she's supposed to be doing a lot more than what she's doing. And that's kind of the spookiness and the scariness of jumping off into the unknown or, you know, so there's that kind of like soundtrack behind it. And that's what it is. Like I said, like I like to kind of delve into, like become obsessed with, you know, bringing a sound together and have it be effective in what I'm trying to say and how I'm trying to make it feel. If that makes any sense. Like,
yeah.
I guess it's always shifting. You know what I mean? Like, I hope it's always kind of shifting, whether it's back and forth or completely out of the comfort zone or that kind of thing. I like doing that.
I wanted to ask you, Zaki, about the aesthetic of your show. I've had the opportunity. I saw you last summer at Harborfront, and then I know, you know, you performed at the Polaris Awards. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then saw you recently at the Manifesto kickoff. And for the first two performances, there's a very particular aesthetic that you have, you know, you and your singers have on stage. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that. I know it's radio, so, you know, the listeners can't see. But maybe you can maybe you can just
describe
talk,
it.
Yeah, talk about the influence of that and what the significance of that is.
For sure. It's so there's we're kind of this rebel army. I've got my two kind of soldiers behind me there that are kind of, I guess, a little bit reminiscent of the public enemy soldiers, or, you know, just kind of like bodyguard kind of figures, but they're also singing their asses off and choreographed in like a soldierly kind of way, soldierly. because we, the story particularly of Every Opposite is kind of a bit of a sci-fi story, which it's like a sci-fi fable kind of thing, where there was a time of like a critical kind of time of free, like the need for free thought, because the world powers has now controlled like humankind and that kind of thing, and so we become this rebel army, and then we like think outside the box. I mean, there's a whole story alongside of the story of the songs, and it's not, I mean, as literal as how I might be describing it now, but we come out kind of a little bit, you know, like rebels, but also quite militant and quite steadfast to that whole confidence. Moving forward, escaping what's this called? Basically, like escaping
force.
Like a oppressive power kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of like, yeah. And then there's the scientist. There are all these different characters. I mean, they're bandits in my band. They cover their faces. Mm-hmm. They're kind of looking a little bit like there's like the big African hats that look like they're the Chinese hats as well, but they're from Guinea, and sometimes they're from Lesotho. But they just kind of like are standing their station in the band, so it's just that, and it's also just having fun with like the themes, and we like to tell, like, I like to tell a story in my show, so that's just what it is, and it's entertainment as well, you know?
So, Zaki, I'm interested in terms of where you're at now in your journey and how that's affected your music, particularly because you said that at different times you're obsessed with particular types and genres and traditions of music, so talk to us a little bit about where you're at in your journey in terms of musicality and how that's interrelated and intersects with where you're at in your own personal journey.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when I was saying, like, I'm becoming obsessed, I mean, like, if there's an idea, it's sometimes, like, I like to kind of just get right into it and try to figure out how to best create that thing. Like, when I say that I'm obsessed with a genre, I'm not, like, going and listening to purely rock and roll for a week straight, or you know what I mean? It's like I'm just trying to, I'm listening to, say, like different kinds of chords, mm-hmm. or different kinds of strings, or different kinds of like those kinds of, that kind of obsessed.
So in terms of like particularity, so you're talking about like there's particular things that are present in all traditions of music that you might become obsessed with and it influences.
Yeah, like okay, for instance, if you look at it in that way, like in like for culturally or whatever, like there's like a pentatonic scale.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be listening to music with pentatonic scales in it, whether it's like from East Africa, from India, from, you know, like from different places like that. So I'm just like, in that way, like it'll be like a specifically cultural, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that the process is always a little bit different too. Like I like to kind of right now I'm just kind of I started a couple of months ago in the actual recording process, but I've been like kind of collecting and listening to sounds and stuff like that. But I'm very much like, I was like, I want to kind of compose with rhythm,
mm-hmm.
because music, like rhythm beats our composition and that kind of thing. And then really trying to challenge myself with my songwriting, in a way where I'm like, it's not like vocal stacking, it's not a ton of harmonies. I'm bringing in my friends, like singers, to do the backing vocals and be very sparse about them, but really kind of say, have a like a strong melody line, and then also just kind of play with the rhythm of the stuff. And like very little is going on, as opposed to like, you know, big orchestra kind of stuff happening, or you know.
Yeah.
So in that way, I'm trying to get this balance of simplicity and strength in the song itself with this next project.
And do you find that where you're at in your personal life and in your personal journey affects your music, or do you often find that they're two separate processes?
Definitely. No, there's definitely, but then, I mean, sometimes there's like a little bit of a delay. Or sometimes it's just a little bit of like a moment where it's just like a half an hour window of like feeling down or feeling really frustrated about something, and then that comes out right in the moment. It might not be like a general like time of my life. We'll see, I guess, when the collection of songs are done and selected. But I think it's from one moment to the next. The, you know what I mean? Like, how you're feeling one day is maybe different from the next day, and then it'll affect, you know, the song that comes out, or like the beginning idea of something, and then if you're feeling a different way the next day, you might not want to revisit that song. You might just want to leave that one alone until you feel like you're drawn back to it.
I just want to interject for a second because Adrian and Victoria have joined us.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we just want to welcome them to the microphones.
Hi.
Hey.
Suzaki, you are, I don't want to make any assumptions, but you're living between Canada and South Africa, but you're based in South Africa at the moment.
Yes, I am. I'm based in Cape Town.
Can you talk about why you made the decision to move from Canada to Cape Town to South Africa?
I think it felt like that's where I needed to be. When I made that decision, I'm going to stay. Just creatively, and like families around me and that kind of thing. Like I just kind of felt like I need to be. Yeah, it wasn't like, okay, I think the best, you know, the best economy or the best this or the best that place to settle down. And it wasn't that kind of thing. It was just more like I feel like I need to be here right now, and the back and forth has just been like, okay, play it by ear. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are pieces of like this in a way is home to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole like, oh, where am I, like how do you know, where am I feeling I should be, whatever, that's kind of, I've gotten almost used to it. Like I feel like I'm just kind of comfortable flying about at the moment. So I don't know. South Africa obviously means a lot to me. I grew up between South Africa and Canada all my life, like since I was three. So
yeah, can you talk a little bit
about home?
Can you talk a little bit about that for our listeners who might not be familiar with you know your background and how you've had this sort of diasporic upbringing?
Well, I mean, I was born in Vancouver, and then my dad is from South Africa. My mom is British and Scottish, and I just kind of out of my siblings, from between my siblings and I, like, I think I was the most kind of drawn to South Africa. Like, I was the one that kept wanting to go back and had the most kind of, well, I shouldn't say the most, but I definitely spent a lot more time there. I'm not sure why. I think it was just a place that really resonated with me, and I have really good friends and really good, you know, like longtime family friends and stuff like that there. And I don't know. I grew up. I mean, my dad has always been kind of not a floater, but he's traveled a lot, and he's been kind of like active in certain communities, and very kind of like his Pan-African philosophies, and just kind of like support in certain communities is his kind of like trickle down to how I guess what I've kind of fallen into, as far as like, I mean, even from hip hop to like the community work or whatever that I get involved in, I think that definitely had an influence on it, and the whole idea of Africa as the kind of context of where, you know, where we're working from, kind of thing.
So
so even the story of every opposite is for a reason. It's the context is Africa, so, as opposed to a North American or a European center of the universe.
But big up. I like that.
I guess I'm just curious too, so that, because you've had the opportunity to perform and support and songwrite for a wide range of people. I'll just name drop some people: Erykah Badu, Saul Williams, Yasiin Bey, Kanan, Tumi and the Volume.
No big deal.
Yeah, I'm shy now. No, I almost actually, I'm going to name drop a little bit more.
Yeah.
I almost was about to do a gig, which I actually just pulled out of because of logistics. But I did, oh my goodness, this is really embarrassing to forget his name. There's a group called Blue Rodeo, a Canadian group.
Yeah.
And it's very like country bluegrass.
Yeah, we know who
they
are.
And like years and years ago, like I sang a song by Bonnie Raitt it was like a CBC project thing. But that was just another, and I can't even remember his name. That's terrible.
Jim Cuddy.
That's just like, can we like edit?
It's Jim Cuddy, right? The singer.
Huh?
Jim Cuddy.
No, not him.
Oh,
the other
one.
Like the.
It's okay.
Okay, yeah. One of the dudes from Blue Rodeo. No?
So I don't. I just know Blue Rodeo. I don't know the people's name.
I know them because I know someone who dated him.
Oh.
Sorry, I don't know why. I think that's funny.
Right.
I know.
It's funny.
So I can't remember the question I was going to attach to my name dropping
right
now.
Is there a party going on in the studio right now?
Sorry, there's like Saturday. Five of us, and every Saturday, like, this is our thing.
This
so
is how we do. Next time you'll have to come by live.
I
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to arrange for that, because then we actually need like a webcam in here.
Yeah,
we do okay. need a webcam.
Yeah, really. No doubt.
I don't know that we need a webcam. I think that'll bring us into. Anyway, we can have freestyle vibes about that later.
Well, okay, so I was going to ask a question, which, looking at the time, we probably don't have enough time for, because I remembered it. But can you, first of all, plug where people can find your music, and B, where they can catch you on Friday, and because we're going to be giving away tickets,
oh, cool.
people should probably pay attention.
Tickets.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. That's great. I can be, my record, Every Opposite, could be found In HMV, in the physical CD, you can find it online on iTunes or Bandcamp, which is Zaki Ibrahim / whatever. I mean, Bandcamp / Zaki Ibrahim. And I will be performing on Friday at Adelaide Hall, where you can also get your CD, and I'll probably be able to sign it if I'm sitting there when you walk up to go and buy it. What else can I entice?
What time is the show?
The doors open at 8:00. Brendan Phillip will be performing, and I will be performing after him.
Awesome.
And it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be a nice, it's mostly gonna be new stuff. But I will be bringing in the Toronto classic.
Grow Again?
I can't say.
Yo, my heart.
It'll be
happy
for Toronto. This show is for Toronto. I haven't had a show in Toronto in a full show. Like I did the First Time Project a couple of months ago. June.
Yeah.
But that was just like a quick. It was like a four song set, five song set with a little medley thing in there. But this is a show. Like it's gonna be. You know, I haven't been able to do the full show in Toronto yet, so this is gonna be really exciting. And call into the station and get your free tickets, and then bring your friends and buy them tickets.
Community. We're going to think of a skill testing question. So people don't call us yet.
Yeah, well, they can't get through because we have Zaki on the line. We only have one phone.
Okay. I was like, why isn't it ringing out?
So if people are trying to call right now, you're not going to get through. But once we say goodbye to you, Zaki, we will be throwing the number out there for people to call. Can you think of a skill testing question for the listeners?
Skill testing. What kind of skills are we trying to test?
Their listening skills. Skizzles on
skills. I'm terrible. Okay.
on this
long
interview.
Let's see. Skill testing.
What's the name of your album?
Yeah, that's a great
question. There we go. That's easy.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Every opposite?
Zaki!
Oh, yeah, right. I'm supposed to get the question. Okay. Let's see.
We'll just make that the question. We'll make that the question. People can call
through.
What
setting? what
She's
is
coming
setting?
Up with something really complex.
Oh, man.
Okay, why don't you tell
what
us?
What is every No, see, that's the thing. I can't think of anything that's really going to be super easy. And it's going to. See, a lot of people are going to have to call in, right?
Yeah.
So, it could be like.
Okay, you know what? I got a question. I'll put it out. After you hang up, I will put it out into the universe, and then we will take people's calls.
Okay.
I definitely want to thank you for joining us today, Zaki. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And thank
we
you
will
for having
definitely announce to the world at the end of the show where they can come and see you this Friday.
Definitely. Yeah. And we're going to go to one of your tracks. It's one of my favorites. I have a few favorites from you, but this one, it's kind of fitting because we're going to be at the other side of the break. We'll be talking about a few issues happening in the world, one of which is the issue happening over in New Brunswick, the Elsabuktuk First Nation taking a stand to protect the water. So the track we're going to play by you is Something in the Water.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zaki.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Cool.
Peace.
Bye.
All right, so we're going to go to that track, and then on the other side of the break, we'll be back here on the Vibe Collective CAT 89.5 FM.
I don't know why, but my skin is burning. Don't think it's a fever, just feeling flustered. I don't know why, or maybe I do.
be a fool with this heart to do. I'm a later, wanna follow through. You can follow me too and see what we get. Make it bigger, get bigger, let your mind switch. Can't tell you cause I know now. Why confess? Take a deep breath. I hold it for you. Call it what you want. Just call it, call it. Maybe they find something in the water.
CIUT 89.5 FM is Toronto's only community nonprofit radio station. The only way we can continue to broadcast is through the support of listeners like you. The CIUT 89.5 FM Fall Membership Drive is happening October 21st through the 27th. To find out more information and to donate, go to www.ciut.fm. Donate before midnight on October 20th and we will enter you into a draw for a chance to win a Samsung Galaxy Note 8. CIUT 89.5 FM. The sound of your city.
The University of Toronto Community Radio Incorporated is looking for volunteer community representatives to sit as directors on its board. The Board of Directors oversees the business and affairs of CIUT-FM, a not-for-profit charitable organization. If you can contribute your time, thoughtfulness, and leadership and are interested in exploring this opportunity, then we invite you to send your cover letter and resume to the University of Toronto Community Radio, care of President, 89.5 Tower Road, Toronto, M5S2E8, or by email to ciutprez@gmail.com. That's CIUTPREZ @gmail.com. Deadline date for submissions is Monday, October the 28th. Tell us why you would like to become a volunteer community representative for this vital and ever-growing operation. We look forward to hearing from you.
The evolution continues. CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
And we're back here on the Vibe Collective CIT 89.5 FM. I am Dams.
What's good? I'm Luam.
Victoria Grant.
Adrian Worrell.
Kemba King, yes, a.k.a. Yes. Meme.
Yes, yes, yes. We are the Vibe Collective. Shout out to Melinda, a.k.a. Docu Vixen. We're heard every Saturday from 3 to 5. From 3 to 4, we have roundtable talks, reasoning sessions about important issues, things that matter.
Oh, and sometimes things that don't matter that much.
Mm. That's true. That's if we're talking about...
She looks right at me. Right at me. See that? Okay. All right.
Well, you know, no, just I didn't mean it like that. Just sometimes we do talk about things
we
like celebrity
frivolous
gossip. Yeah, yeah. But I guess even that matters too, I have to say. Yeah. Cause it, no, because they're influencing the masses, so.
That's true.
You almost sound convinced. I'm
So I'm going to put out the question, but we're not going to take calls until 4 o'clock.
Yes,
we are not
right.
going to take calls until 4 o'clock. Yeah, so right. what is the name of...
But wait, can't they just... Would they just look it up on the internet? Like, shouldn't
until
that say
four,
be
yeah,
a
we should do it
skill
like
testing question? A
couple of minutes before
But you don't know
o'clock.
What the question is I'm going to ask.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it one they can Google?
No.
All right. See?
We should trust more.
We
right?
we need to trust.
So if you're listening... call us up and tell us what is the name of the title of the song that Luam would like to hear on Friday, done by Zaki.
Oh, Power. Yay!
Okay, good. Okay.
There you go. And I feel included and my cared
bad.
For.
Wow.
Kemba Meme King. Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I will never doubt you again.
That's right. So, again, we won't be taking calls until 4 o'clock, which is when we get into the music set of the show. But the number two call, you want to write this down. Is 416-946-7000. But don't call now. If you call now, we're
That's
not going to take your call.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we're
and don't
busy
like,
on the air right now.
Don't like go back into listening to listen over again. Try to find it.
Also, I'll give. Like, we should give a hint just in case.
Okay.
Just one hint. She performed this song at the Womanifesto event in 2011.
And if you weren't there, you're SOL.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you weren't, I actually didn't quite hear what you said.
No.
Like,
well, this is why
interview.
I gave the hint. Yeah. So, okay, not
well,
only.
I actually mentioned it twice in
I
the
did,
show. Yeah.
Because okay. I really love this song, and I will send it to whoever. I don't send it to whoever. I send it to very particular people that I want to.
Uh-oh.
Finish your sentence. What? Finish that?
Uh-oh.
Anyway, she performed it at Womanifesto, and the crowd went, like, absolutely, like, fire for it. So if you were there, you'll definitely remember it. If you weren't, then...
Hopefully you heard the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's once again the giveaway for Zaki Ibrahim, which will be coming up in about 25 minutes.
And that's two tickets to the show this Friday, 8 p.m. So if you can't make it, then...
Don't call.
Whoa.
Honestly, can we just roll it back a minute? Can we talk about our journeys this week?
Yes,
because I think we need to talk about journey. Because I feel like
week.
It has been a challenging week.
We're all taking it out on Kemba.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna facilitate this conversation. Jam, how was your journey? How was your journey getting here today?
My journey getting here today was challenging as well, but I'm feeling tested this week.
Mm-hmm.
Not personally necessarily, though. Yes, too, but more so. My heart is just really, really with the Elsabuktuk First Nation right now and what they're going through, and not just that community, but all the Indigenous communities on the front lines facing. Legislated genocide and RCMP abuse, and just the list goes on and on, and my heart is just with those communities, especially, I mean, all the time, but especially this week when we saw what happened a couple of days ago.
You're arresting grandmothers, man. You're arresting grandmothers, you know?
So I'm just going to break it down for the listeners in case they haven't heard. The Elsabuktuk First Nation has been camped out for a few months now to protect the land from shale gas exploration. SWN Resources is a Texas-based company. This is all related to FIPAs. And they are, you know, trying to do the shale gas exploration on the Mi'kmaq traditional territory, unceded territory, mind you.
Unceded, for the listeners that don't know, means unsurrendered, that there was no treaty ever settled on, agreed upon.
And so they've been there peacefully, non-violently, for a few months. They've been there several months. They've already had confrontations with the police back in August. The RCMP were there. They were looking for informants. They approached Miles Howe from Halifax Media Co-op. He turned them down and was arrested the next day. And then what we saw a couple of days ago was a very violent attack. As Kemba, as you were saying, they were pepper spraying grandmothers and elders and instigating violence.
And it was a coordinated...
group of people.
Yeah, and it was a coordinated RCMP, there police, snipers, military attack.
Snipers in camouflage. Mm-hmm. In it, I mean, and they weren't hidden. Like, that's the other thing. I mean, the pictures show them, like, in the ditch, like, right there. Like, it's not like people couldn't see them. But, of course, the media doesn't talk about that. The media is buying and selling the story that they found explosives, including a pipe.
Mainstream media.
Yes, thank you, the mainstream media. And and I mean, the thing is that fracking has been banned in a lot of places because people understand how dangerous it is. France has completely banned it. Quebec has banned it, issued a moratorium along the St. Lawrence. Yeah. The government of BC has put a moratorium at the Sacred Headwaters when Shell was trying to do their shale gas exploration there. And the list goes on, and you see the effects of fracking in places like Pennsylvania. People turn on their tap waters, and they can set fire to the water.
Yeah.
And in Louisiana, there are sinkholes because of the literally, it's fracturing the earth and then shooting this toxic water up through the tectonic plates, and then it gets into the groundwater, which contaminates the drinking water, but also fracturing the earth, so creating these sinkholes, earthquakes can happen. So that's why a lot of governments are putting a stop to shale gas exploration and fracking. But because of FIPA, because of a FIPA that Stephen Harper has with the United States of America, the RCMP, with Canadian tax dollars, is being paid to protect foreign corporate interests and attack community members, unarmed community members. And so that's why I'm feeling kind of shitty. Yeah.
Yo, I feel that.
Yeah.
The major reasons to feel shitty.
Yeah.
Particularly because that's not just an attack on this particular community, but it's an attack on any claims for Indigenous sovereignty.
Exactly.
And it's an attack on any claims for freedom outside of the nation state. And I think that's why this particular situation, though it's in a particular community in the East Coast of Canada, we need to pay attention to in general as people who are interested in the liberation of African communities, of diasporic communities, of Indigenous communities throughout the world, because the reaction of the Harper government is not anything new.
Nope.
And I think that, like Jarrett Martineau said a few days ago, the last 48 hours will really show us what the next 2 years of the Harper administration is going to look like. And I would add that it's also showing us exactly what the last 500 years of colonial domination has been. And so in particular, it's a really important moment for people living on these territories and generally on Turtle Island to really be paying attention, and to also really pay attention to how different warrior societies are responding to threats from the nation state, to look at groups like the Zapatista and how they're creating models of self-determination that are based in sustainability. So I think, yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
It's also important for people to really think critically about how the media, mainstream media, is telling the story, because they're omitting a lot of information. There's a very particular slant. When I think his name is Roger Brown, the commander of the RCMP, the New Brunswick RCMP, was on the news last night, you know, talking about these explosives that they found, which, I'm sorry, but again, this camp has been there for months with no violence.
But the thing is, even if every group has a right to self-defense, this
Absolutely.
Is unceded territory.
Absolutely.
This is the territory of the Indigenous peoples of that land. They have absolutely every right to resist an occupying army, which is what the RCMP and every other military institution that's an arm of the state is. It's an occupying army. And so it's particularly interesting the ways in which the RCMP and mainstream media are framing this as though Canada has a legitimate claim to this land, and as such is the defending one, not the aggressive one.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And has a legitimate claim to approach that community with arms, with fingers on triggers, snipers in woods pointed at elders and children. And again, I emphasize the fact that this has been a nonviolent camp, because you know, again, it's often rationalized in mainstream media through, oh, we found these arms.
Well,
right?
You know, Jams, they did find six RCMP vehicles were set ablaze.
Right.
That's
yes,
what I saw.
Exactly.
That's what I, yeah. That's what I saw.
And so on Facebook, and I don't want to say the person's name because it hasn't been confirmed. It's just been going through social media. However, I've been hearing from more and more grassroots people who are familiar with this individual, who is an agent provocateur, who is a
RCMP. Though
we
need to be careful with that too.
Yes.
Right? Because like the other flip side of that, because I've also been following that story, right? And so there was an interesting article that was put out by the Warrior Society. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly which one. There was a particular Warrior Society that put out a statement that said, we have to be careful in the ways in which we're saying people are agent provocateurs, because this is also another way in which to completely subordinate our abilities to resist and the way in the ways that we choose to resist. Mm-hmm. So if we were to have torched these police cars, mm-hmm. then it's our prerogative and our self-determined right to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's also, we need to be careful in the ways in which we are framing that debate and also making somebody out to be an informant if we're not sure that they are. There's just many yeah. ways in which we also have to roll back and slow down and make sure that we're not saying that in reaction to mainstream media not covering this situation in a full way, because I think those two things can also be separated.
Definitely. But the fact of the matter is that the RCMP has been approaching individuals, asking them to be informants. Mm-hmm. And again, Miles Howe, the journalist for Halifax Media Co-op, was arrested the day after he turned them down back in August.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important for, you know, for the Canadian citizens to, again, have a critical eye and ear when they're taking in the information that mainstream is providing, and to look at all of the facts. And again, like I said, I don't want to say his name. It hasn't been confirmed, but I'm hearing from a lot of grassroots people who I know, mm-hmm. Who know him,
yeah.
and who do have issues with him for that reason. There are people who collaborate.
Oh, completely. Right. And I think that's something that we always have to be on the lookout for.
Yeah.
Infiltration is not new. It's something that
that's right.
the state has been doing in movements across the world for a long time and will continue to be doing.
Yeah.
But I think it's also important to make sure that if we do, as communities that are resisting colonial domination, decide to engage in a variety of different strategies and tactics for resistance, that it's not immediately termed that they're agent provocateurs just because we're not doing it in what is in mainstream understood to be nonviolent ways. I mean, particularly, I have issues with the ways in which we construct nonviolent and violent anyway.
I was just going to say, I mean, it is problematic, because the thing is that it's always justified when violent tactics are used and tactical forces are used through militarized police. People are okay with that. Canadian citizens don't question it. They don't challenge it. They, you know, the racism we're seeing. I don't read internet comments, but it's hard to avoid when you're on Facebook, and you see people commenting on some of these videos and some, you know, that the community members are putting out, and you see the ignorance. And again, it's like, you know, it's all good if it's police committing acts of violence. That's fine. It's fine if they're armed and pointing guns at people. But heaven forbid a sovereign nation defend themselves with weapons.
That, and also to even broaden the scope of violence. Like, for me, what's more violent than keeping a people in abject poverty
yeah.
because they're indigenous, because they're of African descent? What's more violent than keeping people locked up and using them as slave labor in the prison industrial complex? Violence is not just at the barrel of a gun. It's also in the policies that we have. It's also in the ways in which we, as people that are resisting the nation state, are continually oppressed.
Yep.
And so that, for me, is also a frustrating point when people try to engage in this conversation about violence and nonviolence. It's like the barrel of the gun is not the only place where violence is. And if we're really going to talk about that, how can we even begin to state that indigenous sovereignty movements are the ones that are the most violent, when the state, and in this moment, in what is known colonially as Canada, has the monopoly on violence? And so it's just, there's so many different ways in which we just need to blow open these conversations.
Yeah.
And for me, if an indigenous nation wants to self-determine, then we need to support that as other communities of resistance, particularly as African communities. We need to be able to support indigenous struggles on Turtle Island.
Thank you for that, Luam. I mean, it's a critical point that, again, because of colonial indoctrination and because of the mindset of the colonized mind, it's really, really jarring for people to think in that way and to understand that what we are talking about is ongoing historical genocidal violence of the state towards indigenous people.
For 500 goddamn years.
Exactly.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, thank you.
But I think there's a lot of conditioning, and it's interesting how it happens. I took a glimpse at CBC, and the way they introduced this story is that they had a clip of supposed, you know, criminal. I looked at him. He read as First Nations, and they had him talking, and then they just kind of undermined him and said, yeah, well, this guy is he's going to be, you know, back in jail or whatever like that. And then they segued to now in New Brunswick. So if you're so prepared of looking at these people in a particular kind of way, you know, just in using this issue that everybody can agree on that, you know, well, crime is bad. And here's this criminal who just happens to be easily read as First Nations. And then now, oh, in unrelated news, right, one of those kind of segues. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, like there's just so many subtle techniques that are involved, you know. And to a degree, I'm like, people – we've been through this before to some degree. You know, like we've seen things like this before. If it's a Dudley George, if it's, you know, Oka, all these, like, this happens frequently. And I look at these things in a sense as a kind of referendum, you know, like people's reactions, because, you know, people will side with whoever they're going to side with, but oftentimes they end up siding with the state because the state is considered powerful. That's the source of all things that are good and shiny.
And legitimate.
And quote-unquote legitimate. Mm-hmm. And so people prepare their reactions and perceptions to save them from being on the wrong side of things, shall we say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really unfortunate that happens still in this country, even with a relatively limited knowledge of history, which I think I have, because, I mean, the indigenous struggles are so they go back so long. There's so many different layers. There's so many different people involved. It goes across the world. It's not just here, you know. And, you know, with the world, if you've just kind of been reading headlines for the last 10 years, and to be like, oh, those people again, it's kind of like you're not really giving this a lot of thought. Like you're really just trying to side with whomever else. You know, that's how I typically look at these kind of things. So when I do look through the comments, I don't look at them as like real people responding. I'm like, these are people who often are just trying to be on the right side, shall we say.
Yeah. And, I mean, the thing is that what a lot of these people don't understand is that more times these communities are defending the very basics in these particular face-offs with the state. So, right now, the message is this is about water. Mm-hmm. This is about protecting water, not just for indigenous people, but for
people.
For all people. Everybody needs water. We are 70% water. If we don't have water, you know, we don't survive. We don't live. And so, you know, that's the thing about that's so frustrating when you see this ignorance that people comment on these issues online and they just really don't understand that this is not about funding. You know, this is and I mean, funding is a whole other issue. A lot of Canadians have no clue how funding works for Indigenous people, and in fact it's that Indigenous people have been funding Canada for the last 500 years, not the other way around. And, you know, But this isn't a funding issue. This isn't about, as a lot of, I've been seeing so much of like, oh, you just want more free handouts. It's like, no, you're not even paying attention to the issue. You're not even paying attention to the story. All you have to do is look at, again, look at Pennsylvania, look at Louisiana, look at what these communities who have been affected by shale gas exploration and affected by fracking, look at what they're dealing with.
And there's different communities that are actually running out of water. Like I was listening, I don't remember which station I was listening to, if it was CIUT or CBC, but there is several parts in northern China that are running out of water. Like they're just straight goods running out of water. And You know, water as a resource. If you look at some of the things that have been happening, the pushback that Nestle's been giving around privatization of water and the resistance that has pushed them back a little bit, you know, but Nestle wants to privatize all our water. I still can't believe, I don't personally, but people pay to buy water. You know
and
what
that,
I mean?
And that, did you know that Nestle is getting a bunch of water from us for free?
Yeah.
Selling it back.
So it's like
I don't know. I remember there was a time where people used to kind of like critique corporations. You know, there was a time where it's like, you know, those corporate baddies. But like that's almost out of the conversation for the most part, because most people it seems like trying to have some sort of relationship with one of these entities in a sense, you know. And so, you know, survival is often tied to, you know, those kind of connections. So it's like it becomes this thing of, well, we're going to control the conversation in this way, and certain things don't get said as frequently or at certain times.
You know? I think resistance is happening, but it social networking resistance is a little different.
Yeah, armchair activism. Right. Mm-hmm. But that phrase is thrown around flippantly. I feel like there's a lot to be said for it. You know, information is shared through social media, and that's really important.
That's
because
true.
Because it is a balance to mainstream media. So as much as people like to dismiss, you know, social activists who focus their energy online, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a really important part of getting that information across. But I hate to shut this down, but we're at the end of the hour.
But before we go, I just want to read something that Elle Jones wrote, who's the Halifax Poet Laureate, a woman of African descent who wrote this in solidarity with the struggles that are happening right now that we've been talking about, that I think is really important. We'll close off the hour nicely. She says, "This is not a protest. This is the voice of Mother Earth, and it is coming at you 24/7, and it cannot be shut down, shot down, kept down, tuned out, shut out, or ordered away. It cannot be bought out, sold out, paid for, dealt for, or legislated away. It is not the throne speech or the king's speech, or did I stutter because it is free speech, and it cannot be lied about, twisted about, torn out, silenced, or taken away. It will break out no matter how many palms are greased up with oil. It will stand up no matter how many times it is beaten down. It will never be barricaded out. It cannot be jumped on, taken out, closed up, or hidden away. It is speaking to you in your heartbeat right now, and it cannot be covered up, blacked out, blocked up, stopped up, locked up, handcuffed, or driven away. This is the voice of the land. It is the voice of the people, not the oil companies, and it cannot be divided up, brought down, messed up, ruled out, broken apart, or burned out. It will not go away quietly. It cannot be dropped out of the headlines. It cannot be cut off or locked down because SWN and Stephen Harper. This is how your mother speak. This is your mother speaking, and she will never shut up, no matter how much you talk down, arm up, turn out, or turn down. No matter who you will beat up, it will not break down, and you will be voted out and kicked out long before she dies down or dies out, because her voice is eternal. It is the land and the water. It is all around. It will always be around, and it will always, always, always drown you out."
Thank you for that, Lauren.
That was Elle Jones, the Halifax Poet Laureate, writing in solidarity and connecting the struggles of African peoples and indigenous peoples of Turtle Island.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. On that note, we're gonna go to the skill testing question.
All right.
We're going to have to throw that out there. We had Zaki Ibrahim on the phone earlier. We were talking with her.
Yeah.
She's got a show next Friday.
And next
Kemba
Friday.
Has a skill testing question for you.
And if you'd like to get 2 tickets to attend that show, 8 p.m. on Friday, October the 25th, please give us a call at 416-946-7800.
Nope, 7,000.
7,000, sorry. 7,000.
Membership drive line.
I'm on it. 416-946-7000. And the skill testing question is, what is the name of the song that Luam would like to hear played next week, Friday?
The Zaki Ibrahim song.
Zaki Ibrahim song.
Yeah, so once again, 416-946-7000. We're going to get to some music. Also want to remind you, next week is the membership drive. Yeah. We will be calling upon you to show us some love. We do this for the love. And we need to feel the love next week. So keep us in mind. And yeah, go to your phones right now if you want to win tickets to see Zaki Ibrahim next Friday. And stay tuned for some music here on The Vibe Collective. CIUT 89.5 FM.